Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome along to the Wiseman's preview show. It's a review show tonight as well, as we reflect on yesterday's defeat to Huddersfield Town. I'm joined by Stephen Goldsmith. Hello, Stephen.
Good evening.
Are you all right?
Oh, you okay? Well, it wasn't for the football league.
Did you enjoy your tea? Yes,
I did, actually. Yes, it was very nice.
And tell everyone what you had.
Wife did a very nice job of that. I had a beef stir fry. We used to often have stir fries, never had one for the ages. Discussing that.
Good. I haven't had any tea yet. So thanks for listening. Well, might as well just get straight into it, really. I think last night was, there's no two ways about it. It's awful, really.
Absolutely shocking, like absolutely minging it was. And the worst thing about it was they're possibly, I don't know what you think, the worst team we've played at home this season.
Yeah, I thought they were bad. I thought Watford were quite poor, but Watford had more about them technically than they did.
At times it was like the performance Sheffield Wednesday put against us at that
place. Yeah.
10 men behind the ball weren't even trying to pass it to each other at times. They were just, let's just float the ball into the far corner and regroup and get our shape back. And it was just like,
it can't go on.
Surely they can't play like this for 90 minutes and get something out of the game.
But for all, you know, they didn't struggle to do it. They were relatively solid, I thought, you know, defensively wise. I thought, like, we just, it was, you know, they weren't very good, but arguably the perfect away performance from them, really.
Well, you know, that's, they just did what they had to do and just managed the game, and they, you know, what they're going to do, come and open up and get the arses kicked. No sort of criticism on their part. That's just like an observation, really, that they were so.
Oh, they were awful. It's
more frustration on our team that we couldn't find a way to get past that, because that's the worst we've played, certainly at home this season. And I know we're going to go on about it, but I just think yeah, everything was a knock-on effect from the decision to play Salter at right back. I just sat there and I couldn't. You know when something just, you're getting your bean in your bonnet about something and you just can't let it go. It was just me all game, because I couldn't stop watching. I was watching him, I think, more than anybody else. And again, this is not like a criticism of him. I'm not going to start slagging him off. He is not a fullback. He shouldn't have been asked to play a fullback. So it's like asking a centre forward to play there. You're not going to have a go at them if they don't play well. But it's like, I even point out to one of the lads next to us, and he was like, after about 5 minutes, he was like, I wish I hadn't pointed that out to me, because I can't help looking at it now. But it was like, when the ball was going down the right-hand side, and every time Roberts or Mayenda or somebody would get it, and he was the obvious outlet, he was the obvious ball to play, he didn't want it, and they didn't want to give him it. So they had to then turn around and look for another opportunity. That allowed Huddersfield to get back and get the shape more. He didn't have the natural understanding of how to even overlap Roberts. It's not like we give him a chance and put him on the outside and let's see if he can cross a ball. He didn't have the positional awareness to even do that. And I'm just scratching my head trying to think why a decision was made in the first place, because you've got in the same back four that started, you've got two competent right backs in that back four already. 50% of that back four can play right back. You've got two of them, 50% of that back four can play left back. Only two of them, though, can only play centre half. So just the basic maths would guide you and say, It's like, I know you love a Simpsons reference on the preview. So do you know, like, when Homer and Mort are planning that insurance scam, and Mort gets the car to represent the car, and he gets the olive to represent Homer, and Homer eats the olive and
That's
goes,
a great reference, that.
me. And then Mort gets all confused, and he's like, oh, well, now the car will have to be you, and this will have to be the. It was like that. Like, what are you doing?
You
Like,
know,
if for whatever reasons, Huggins, who was on the bench, and we understand that, like, it was advice from the medical team to maybe not start him, right? Fine. So play Hume, who's a right back there, or play O'Nien, who, in my opinion, is a better right back than a centre half. Play him there. What on earth?
I like everything you've said there. I said it last night at the match. I was sat watching it, and I was getting equally as irate about it, because I was just so like, if you're insistent on playing 09, like I said to my dad, I was like, "There's no one in the stadium now, other than quite clearly Tony Mowbray, who can look at this and go, it makes sense for me to do that. Yes, I've made the right decision there." Because everything was stunted, as you've said, down the right-hand side. I felt for him, really, because he just looked, well, he looked awful because he was just so far out of his depth playing in that position. And he must have been thinking, I could just play there
Yeah, can we just swap, man?
and I'd be absolutely fine. And I think, like, even if he started him there for whatever reason, he might have done that. After 20 minutes, just like, this isn't what, this obviously isn't working. Just swap. It was a decision that I'm loath to, you know, I don't like digging the manager up, because I like Mowbray, and the job he's done has been largely great. But some of his decisions in recent weeks, I'm just thinking, what are you doing there? Why are you doing this?
The only thing I could, because I was thinking about this and I thought, perhaps, you know, like another discussion point about Hume when he sort of he drifts into the middle of the park now. So all I can think of is that they're thinking, well, when Hume drifts into the middle of the park, the remaining three defenders,
Former back three.
former back three. But the shape when we had the ball didn't suggest that, because he was constantly where a right back should have been when we had the ball. And he just stopped short of making the overlap run. And it seemed to be down to positional awareness to me. And like you say, when he did get the ball, it was literally a 5 yard pass to whoever was the closest to
Or
him.
he
And he
put it
did,
out, well, a few times he put it out of play.
yeah.
Like
He
you
didn't.
did.
He didn't have anything else, and he's not going to do it. And it's like, I know it seems like we're digging one player out for a performance
No,
that was
but I'm not
just,
digging him out though. Like, I'm just
well,
digging out, like, the
yeah. I'm
decision.
just trying to make that clear, yeah.
It was more the decision to play him there rather than having a go at him. Because you can't, you for all people, you know, for all, yeah, he had a poor game, he did. You can't judge him on that performance, because he's barely played, and I think he's played once at centre half alongside another guy who'd never played at all. And now you start, all right, I'm in the team, but I'm playing at right back. And the way we play with fullbacks is the very attacking fullbacks. So he's not going to get a lot of protection off the winger either. So it was just, honestly, I could just go on, but
Well, you just
if
thought
anyone
at
can
least when we,
understand that, then
at least when we
please.
came out in the second half, you thought surely you'll change that now. There must be a reason for all this thing. I go back like a couple of old references now. I'm going back. I remember when Peter Reid was manager, and this is how old I'm going. I think we were playing it because I'd never seen a reaction from a crowd like this before. And we were Bolton, and we were up in the upper tier in the Reebok Stadium, and it was when Bolton had a decent team, and I think we won the game. I think Per Frandsen missed a penalty for them. And anyway, Juliaga was playing centre midfield. This was way before he was used as a midfielder. He was signed as a left back. He got put on the left wing a lot. And he was playing centre midfield, and Gavin McCann was playing left wing, and who was just the least more suitable midfielder to play on the wing. And it was like nil-nil for ages. And midway through the second half, you just saw Archer and McCann suddenly switch positions and go to the more natural position, and the whole Sunderland end stood up and started clapping and cheering. I'd never seen a reaction or a tactical change like it, because like everybody could see like what you're doing, like this is not working. I don't know what you're thinking about here. There
Yeah,
must have been
can
a
you?
reason for it. There must have been sort of discussion, you know. You don't. They didn't just suddenly like halfway through the game think, "Are we the wrong player? Should we switch?"
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
did he mean me?
It's mad. I remember on Arco as well. I remember Mick McCarthy dropping him once at Stoke and played. And I can't remember who it was. I might have a look because of the noise. He played some young defender, left back. And he got absolutely rinsed, and we got beat 3-1. And at the end of the game, he got asked about it, and he was like, "Oh, my thought was Stoke like playing a Diag, and he's bigger and stronger than Julio is, so I thought he would be there to deal with them on." You think you're overthinking it? You're overthinking it to play your
Yeah.
left back, play your Arger at the time,
Yeah.
best left back in the division comfortably, play him there instead of this like
Yeah.
novice centre half left back. It's just mad. I'm gonna have to
All
Google.
managers, are guilty of it at times, you know. Like, we can find out who that was if we want. But
I'm gonna
I
have to.
think, like, Guardiola did it at the Champions League final. I'm just going to play no central midfielders, like, against the midfielder. You know, just I think it was Kante in the midfield for Chelsea, was just like overrunning them. And it was like, all managers are guilty of it, but I think for all the good work Mowbray does, I think sometimes, like, you're just trying to be too clever for your own good. But I don't even get why Mike think that that was clever to play him there last night. That doesn't make any sense. But and then, like, the midfield situation, like, you've got Ekwad didn't play, and for all he's been out of form, I think we've discussed this today, and, like, he has to play because there's no
Yeah,
one
and
else to play there.
at least he wants the ball, is what you would
And he's a
say.
physic. He's also, against a team like Huddersfield, he is a physical presence in the middle. And Dan Neil then has to kind of be that. He has to drop. He has to. It meant he had to put. I think, to be honest, they were all awful last night. Every one of them was rubbish. I don't think it was. I thought, like, Oshish did okay, but I don't think he was anything groundbreaking. And I think Meander did all right. He gets in certainly at least some positions which might suggest that he's at some point capable of playing up front. And then to take him off and bring Hamir on, who just to me looks so far out of his depth, it's frightening. Doesn't even really know where to stand. And then just sort of moves out the way when the ball comes to him. Kind of missed Roussin, I thought. Not that he's been world class, but he's got a bit of experience and a bit of nous and a bit of know-how. I think that he's kind of been he's poor against Plymouth, but I don't know if maybe he was injured prior to going off. So, did
He
you
was on
find
the
out who
bench,
that
was he?
was?
Yeah.
Because I've done well to
Yeah,
fill
so no, yeah, very well. What I would say is I
that.
agree on that, because I think what we said, I think after the must have been Birmingham game, I think Ekwa didn't play very well, and we were saying it happens, but at least he doesn't have, he wants the ball still, and we could have
Yeah.
really used that last night, because he could have had a stinker for half an hour or 60 minutes. But then
Could
at
have
least,
raked one in the top corner, you know?
yeah, at least he's just going to ask for the ball still, because we did start to get a bit desperate at the end. And I know sometimes a crowd don't help with that. They were starting to get a bit agitated. It's probably the most frustrated I've seen a crowd since we've been back in the Championship, to be honest. And sometimes it does force the players to go along, because in desperation, fans ask for that.
Yeah.
And sometimes the players do need to be a bit calm and level-headed and say, "No, we keep doing what we do as a team, and something and an opening will come." And I feel like Ekwa would have done that. I feel like Dan Neil looks lost without him.
He does because he's in midfield on his own. Like, you've got no, like, there's no other natural replacement for him. And Job, he has to come out of the team. I don't care if there's a thing where he can't or whatever it might be, but he has to, because he's take the Birmingham game out. He's been awful, you know, in spells, and average at best for the last 6 weeks, really, or longer. He's a kid, and he's played every single game. Just take him out of the team. Like, he has to come out of the team.
So, well, yeah, no, I don't disagree, and we'll get on that when we look ahead. I found that team. So, Arga did play, but we didn't play at the back. So, I've looked at the game before as well for reference. We won against Crystal Palace, and he's changed the back four, and he's took Arga out of the back four,
Right.
and he's give a debut
Right. Who was this?
Craig James.
Wow, right, yeah.
Can you remember that name?
Yeah, he went to Hibernian, I think.
Did he?
Yeah, click on him.
I've just clicked on him there, yeah. I
Think he
just he's
went to
just got his
Hibs.
son's just got his Sunderland stats. Two
Oh, fair.
appearances.
Yeah, well,
One of them he
must have
was
been good then.
substituted. That was his
Do you
debut.
remember his
I just
name?
remember
Yeah.
he had an absolute stinker. And I think it's got here Daryl Russell scored two, and I think he might have been like the winger who was up against him from memory. And
They'd
then
went to Hibs on loan.
yeah.
Went to Hibs on loan and then Darlington on loan. And then Port Vale, Darlington, York, Livingston, Barrow, and finished his career at Huddersfield Town. He's 41 now.
Well, it brings it back to Huddersfield.
Not Huddersfield Town, Harrogate Town, sorry.
Oh, Harrogate. Okay.
Huddersfield on
Oh,
the
well.
brain.
Yeah. Well, at least he's had some sort of career, like a lot of these
I'm
kids.
pleased for
What?
him.
Yeah. Again, it
Hey.
wasn't aimed at him. You know, I'm sure
No, it wasn't
he was
because
a
of Craig
fine player, you
James.
know, but it was just like change of winning team, but like overthink a situation and it backfired. And it was just, I don't know, like that wasn't the only thing, but I just think, you know, and there were other decisions as well, like. We would have the power of hindsight to say so. Like Ashish, I think deserved a start.
Yeah, I agree.
Didn't quite work for him. Didn't really, you know, he was okay, but he didn't. It didn't. At the minute, you would look at that performance and I think he's coming off better, coming off the bench at the moment. But like, you can understand why that was tried because
I
people were
agree.
calling for it, and he's looked
Yeah.
okay. My end of the same as you say. He's looked like he's got something about him in comparison to some of the other centre forwards.
Think he probably offers the
Playing.
most. I like Rusin.
Not the quickest. Not the
No,
quickest.
he's not as quick as he kind of looks like when he's running. He looks like strong and like he's good, but his pace isn't
No,
electric.
he hasn't got a burst. He doesn't have a team of a burst of it, like from a standing position.
No.
But neat and tidy on the ball and look comfortable. And but again, these players should be getting phased in. And we said this about Hamia, who's possibly the Sharks might have jumped with that one. But like at the start of the season, we were saying the same thing. You need to be giving them substitute appearances. You need to be playing them in certain cups and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh. And I've seen a lot of like the narrative switch back now to, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's not even a centre forward issue anymore. Like, we had 30 shots on goal last night. And like, this whole thing about where we're not creating chances for the forward, centre forwards. Score goals in bad teams, good centre forwards.
There was a
Jermaine
couple of
Defoe
times,
scored goals in the David Moyes Sunderland. Like they have an understanding of where to be and where to stand. Robertson Clark put the ball into the box a lot of times in the course of a game, and we don't have somebody who knows to just sniff out where the ball's going to
There was a
fall into
couple of
like.
times last night the ball went across the face, and you're like, a striker's there. Wait, a striker puts that in. An average championship striker puts that away.
Yeah.
Like you look at someone, I don't know, from the early, like from the 2000s, Rob Hulse puts that away.
Well, look
Like,
at Huddersfield's second goal. Like,
what? Shambolic, by the way.
shambolic on from Sonnen's part and between 09 and Hume, absolutely just bewildering defending, to be honest. But their
Awful.
striker has sniffed it out and
Yeah.
finished. Do you know what I mean? And that is a sign of what a striker can do. I'm not sure we had anyone on the pitch last night who would have been able to do that. And just again, back to like strikers making their own look at times, just the ability to just pin your defender back and roll them and shoot.
Have a go.
This is stuff that we need a centre forward to be able to do when you're playing a team that where you're being
I
told should
agree.
be aiming for promotion.
I agree, and it's becoming embarrassing now, the whole stat of we haven't had a striker score since I think April. And even that was Gellard, and he's not really a striker as such. I think like I just want to touch on before we take a break, like the Pritchard situation. I think the fact that he can't get in the team of one ahead of an 18-year-old Job who's click like, just bang out of form and looks leggy and tired, and but he can't get on ahead of Bradley Dack. And you're like, I mean, he came on last night, but you know, at Plymouth, he made five substitutions, Mowbray bringing Dack on. Like, I'm sorry, but
I'd play him. I think should we take a break and we'll do it because we'll talk about the Millwall because I
We'll
think we'll start with that because I think we're on the same page with that
take. No, I agree. Yeah, well, we'll be back in a minute.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Wiseman's podcast. Just before the break, we were discussing Alex Pritchard and the situation surrounding him. So we're just going to go straight back in and continue to do that. So obviously we'll play Millwall on Saturday, and we were just agreeing that he should play in that game.
Yeah, there you go. Preview done. No, I agree. I did something with Liam from Eurotales pod the other day, and he was asking me about Joe Bellingham, and I was praising him a lot and saying stuff. We've been really behind him, and I think he's got a really good future. And I think
he's
got a really good player. And I was saying to him, you know, he's clearly, we are speculating when we say, is there something in his contract that suggests he has to play? But it's hard not to conclude that, to be honest, because as you've said, it's like, it's clear as the nose on anybody's face that he needs a rest and he needs to
help
the team for a little bit.
And he's been, you know, he's showed a lot of promise. He's scored some important goals. He's scored a couple of good goals. He's had a couple of, you know, he's had some really nice touches. He's had some good games. He's had games where he's ran, you know, the show in parts. But in the last, you know, couple of months, he's just looked just not fit. And even, you know, if there's a thing to say he has to play when he's fit, well, he's not really fit to play because he's, like, either burnt out or just bang out of form. And if we've signed him on a basis where he has to play, then it's ludicrous, to be honest. But I think, like, on the opposite side, is there something, I know we've seen this before with Pantilimon and famously Emerson Tome. Is there a thing with Pritchard where, I don't know, where he has to start a certain number of games before he triggers something? Or is it like a wage thing? Or is it just like...
That's the thing people always question when something like this happens, isn't it?
Because obviously he's coming off the bench, and he did come off the bench last night.
And we've acknowledged many times before that he's an excellent sub to have Pritchard. He's not even been doing that as much, has he? And I think it's got to a point now where we need to change something because we've gone a bit stale, and he does bring that intensity and gets us up the field. And I agree. I think somebody would have to. I think somebody would struggle to talk me into saying that Pritchard shouldn't be starting ahead of Bellingham next game in that number 10 role.
I agree, and I think, you know, if he's not going to play Pritchard, I think he needs to look at doing something and either bringing Roberts into there or putting O'Shea's there and playing Bellingham and Ekwar. Or
Barr's maybe due a start, to be
Barr,
fair.
Barr, yeah, looked brightish when he came on.
Barr's running stretches, he's good at stretching that position defence. He's really good against Southampton when he did that.
Put him on the wing and put Roberts in the middle, maybe.
And just, well, interchange
you can interchange, yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to that one. No, definitely not. But he needs to freshen it up there, definitely. And what do we think about centre forward position, the situation, right? And we'll see Meander, like, looks like he's got something about him. But I think out of all the ones available, we looked a better team when Burstow played, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, we certainly had the best results. And yeah.
I think he occupied defenders well. So that was when Clark went on his little purple patch as well for scoring goals. Because Burstow, yes, he wasn't scoring, but he was good at dragging defenders out and creating space for
One of
Clark.
penalties.
Yeah, like Clark was, he was smothered
One
last night
penalties
with
with you
goals.
know, a nice play.
Sorry?
No, he was. No, I
Yeah,
think
yeah.
no. Sorry, I think the in that car then. I think you could of course play ball. You could put two of them up there.
Possibly. Because, yeah, three at the back, maybe. He needs to do something. He needs to try
Something needs to
something.
change because it's not
Yeah.
working, and the things that he's changing are just ludicrous things. Like, I know there's an element of, you know, we're advocating him to change it again, which is fine, and there's no, but something has to give here.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it might depend on Hogan, Hogan's situation, if he's fit to play, and then you think him and Hume would be the two fullbacks. But I think Ekwa needs to come back in the team, and I think Pritchard or Barr needs to come in the team, and arguably Burstow needs to come in the team for me. They're the kind of, I'm not one for like just, you know, saying the solution is making wholesale changes, but I kind of think like he needs to change that drastically from the weekend. As much as anything, to make a statement to the team that wasn't an acceptable performance by any means.
No, and he's kind of loyal, isn't he? Mowbray, and you think
I was pleasantly
don't
surprised
mind.
at that as well.
I think just it has to change. Something has to give. Millwall are not good at home at all.
Lost 4-5.
Yeah, and they're just not a great side by the looks of things. But I don't know. I just worry now because we've got it's for all and every good. It's not a nice place to go, is it? And I think. Like, we did well last season to stand up to them. They were a better side than they are now, I think. We did well, though, you know, to get the point and withstand their general bombardment, to be honest. But I don't know. So you don't. We need a win, really. And say we don't, then you've got Bristol City away. Oh no, sorry, we've got West Brom at home. Leeds at home and then Bristol City. You think, well, it's not a kind run of fixtures that. And even Hull Boxing Day, you're
Yeah.
thinking, I know Rotherham in between, but you know, you don't get a result on Saturday and all of a sudden you're like, where's this run going to end? Because, but all, you know, on the upside, you win, you go seventh. Who knows?
Yeah, and I think they are going through a bit of transition at the minute on the new manager, who's not Gary Rowett, very different by all accounts, and I think
Who
that's
is
why.
it?
I looked at this
Oh,
and
is it
I'm
just
like,
like some man?
I think he's come from Chelsea's coaching staff.
Okay.
I did see his name earlier, but I can't remember what it was.
I'm not that bothered like
He's
it.
come from Chelsea's coaching staff, so again, I think he's trying to like. Rowett was very known for like work hard, direct, dirty sort of
Yeah, he's a loser. I don't
spoiler of
like
a
Gary
team,
Rowett.
and that's kind of like what they're trying to get away from, trying to be more progressive. And I think they won the first game of Sheffield Wednesday and got a bit carried away.
Oh, well done.
Without factoring that everybody beat Sheffield Wednesday,
Yeah,
and
above them Leicester.
yeah, really weird. And
Leicester not beating them last night was an interesting one.
so and then they've lost the two or three games since, I believe. So it is a good time, I think. Just
No, it
like I
is.
say, it might sound like we're saying, "Oh, make wholesale changes for the sake," but it's kind of like going back to what you know a little bit. Just play fullbacks. Play Ekwa and Neil in the middle of the park, maybe even put Burstow back in. We had a good run of form when that group of players were playing. Just go back to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree about putting him back in.
Yeah.
I think I know he hasn't scored, but I think when he came on against was it Birmingham, he was really unlucky to put that one
Yeah.
wide. And
Yeah.
I think I don't know. Lots need to change. I wouldn't be averse to wholesale changes, to be honest. A change in shape.
Be interesting
But
because the pressure's really on him if he loses, like you
it,
say.
oh, if he
Not
loses his
even not
game,
even factoring on, even not even factoring that of the run of fixtures, just generally, just where we are now to get at this
we've not
point.
been good, have we? Like take away the Norwich like fairly abject Norwich side. We played well against Birmingham. I didn't see the Swansea game, but we were awful at Plymouth largely. I know like it was one of them where nothing went for us, but we just didn't really. Plymouth are not a good side either, and to lose 2-0 to them was really disappointing. And we had at the other end of them sort of that three unbeaten run we had. some quite poor performances. We did okay at Leicester, but we lost. We're just losing. It's just been a strange thing. In flashes, we've looked great, but the flashes are becoming less frequent, and we need a bit of consistency. And I think everyone would probably take a 1-0 on Saturday.
And dare I say a bit of experience and a bit of gear, a bit of
It's
an
quite a
old
bore,
head amongst the chaos at times, which we've said thousands of times.
Well, we have. As you
Can I
want to,
mention? I want to
yes, of
mention
course.
the Hull City ticket fiasco.
Oh yeah, sure, because
So
it was
I've been
very
asked, yeah,
symbolic,
and
yeah.
I've been asked to mention that. You know, I don't know how true this is, but no reason to disbelieve that. So basically, to just outline what happened to everybody, basically the club clearly state on their phase information when you're going to buy a ticket. Phase one will be this amount of points, phase two this amount of points, phase three is where the disclaimer comes in to say you are not guaranteed a ticket at this stage because it
Because it's
opens up.
basic maths to work it out, how many you need and how many
So
might be
what they
available.
do is work out and say they make sure that everybody in phase one who is like whether it's 50 points above is guaranteed a ticket because those people have been going decades, haven't missed away match in years or whatever. And on the face of it looks like they just somebody made a strange decision just to say let's go straight at 20 points to a game on Boxing Day to a team in the north of England.
With an
I mean,
allocation of 2,000.
yeah. So, I mean, the fact it was sold out in minutes is not surprising, but it means that there are a lot of unhappy supporters. And this message that I got, so apparently, new ticket office manager, don't know if that's true, but whatever, somebody has made a decision apparently against, I must say, experienced staff members who work in the ticket office, against their advice to go to a data-driven system. And have held firm on this, and the data has indicated because Swansea didn't sell out on a similar allocation, that Hull might not sell out, and they should go 20 points. They
Has
were
this
advised.
has
They were advised not to do it, but they did it anyway. So
has this
then we
sorry,
know
Steve.
that. I'm just saying. So now we know that this has been communicating fans and hundreds of fans. You know, some people I've been told people who haven't missed a game, an away game in decades, not even exaggerating,
Well, yeah.
decades have
So
now
there's
missed
two
out on this.
things. So I've got two things to raise on the back of this. Has this person ever looked at a map and looked at Swansea, which is in Wales, which is miles away? On that weekend, I believe there were train strikes. And even if there weren't, it takes about 7 hours to get to Swansea on the train from the northeast of England. Hull is about 2 hours away in the car, probably 2.5 hours, whatever. It's a nice,
And
easy one.
it's a
It's
bank
Boxing Day
holiday.
when everyone's off, most people are off, And also, when they're putting the tickets on sale, why do they go on sale at like 2:30 on a Tuesday afternoon when,
Everyone's at
a
work.
majority of people are at work? If they're going to do that, fine, but you need to advertise that, maybe 3 days before this is when they're going to go on sale. You wouldn't see, like, I don't know. I know things go on sale on weekdays, but you wouldn't be like, oh, Oasis have announced their comeback tour. Tickets go on sale at 3:15 on Wednesday afternoon, because that would just be stupid, wouldn't it?
And
And I
if they
think,
did, they
like,
would give you loads and loads of warning, like you say. There'd be pre-sales and there would be all sorts.
and I just think, like, there are a lot of things that the club have improved on, and they do better. But the ticketing situation, for whatever reason and whatever they do, they cannot do. They are hopeless at selling tickets. The whole thing at the beginning of the season proved just how frankly inept the communication is. They don't even announce the tickets are going on sale for stuff half the time. You just find out, oh, they're on sale now.
The first time I found out about it was when they tweeted to say it was sold out.
It was good
I mean,
that.
how tone deaf was that?
Like bragging about it as well and saying, like, of course it was going to sell out. It's a Hull on Boxing Day. Boxing Day, unless we play, well, every, if we, A Sunderland away game on Boxing Day is going to sell out, isn't it? Like most teams sell out on
You get
Boxing
another
Day.
3,000 tickets and it would sell out.
It's staggering that they just seem really quite determined to just fuck everything up all the time, and it's like I know it might seem, you're probably thinking, well, this is a bit of an overreaction because of an away game, but it's not
It's
just
not.
that, is it? You remember that Crew Cup game at the start of the season when it was in, the digital system kind of shut off at midnight and didn't automatically release more seats. So the first round of the League Cup game against Crewe was shown as sold out for a number of hours where people couldn't buy a ticket for.
It's
It,
just,
it's just not good enough, to be
it's just,
honest.
you need to just be, they just need to be careful that they're not, that they don't get in the territory where they just take fans for granted. And we've spoke about this before, and it's
Well,
just,
Newcastle are doing it.
it's such a disregard to those fans to say, well, I don't care, as long as we'll sell out and that's all we care. It's such disregard to go again, especially again, like, fair play to those people who work in the ticket office who apparently were really trying to make their opinions known on this,
Well,
because
hopefully the message
it's
gets to
just,
that person,
but
because
it's bloody data again, isn't it? Bloody Speakman all over again,
Speakman
like,
in charge, is it? Is he the man? I just
yeah,
think,
trust the
like,
data. Stop trusting the data too much, man.
using Swansea as a benchmark for a game against Hull for geographical reasons is just the work of a moron. So, like, you know, if that is true, then it's, I'm sorry, but that needs to stop, because that's just not a benchmark for.
It's just common sense, because, like, we all use data now. Like, I use data in my, like, 9 to 5 job now. Where,
Yeah.
like, planned events, you look for hotspots, you look for previous attendances, and
Yeah, but the
but
data needs to
you
be
don't just, yeah,
relevant.
and you don't always just rely on it. You actually dig deep when something flags up, and you say, yeah, but what were the factors into that? What was behind that? What was behind that low turnout? What was behind that high turnout?
Yeah.
And you factor in those things, man.
So,
It's
oh, we're
just,
not going to put more trains on from Newcastle to London because the Aberdeen to Inverness line doesn't sell very well. Like, it's
yeah.
just like, if you're going to use this stuff, you need to use relevant data, and you need to use, you know, and just the system works. Like, right, the loyalty system is the one thing in the ticketing system that works. Leave it alone. It's the fairest way to do it. Leave it alone, because you're
Well,
going to piss everybody off, and you, well, they
hopefully
have,
it's
but.
lesson learned, and this person over there doesn't double down on it, and they were very ill-advised in trying to make an impression and trying to reinvent the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. Middle management. Do you Are we gonna win?
I think we are going to draw 1-1.
I agree. Well, that's it then.
Yeah.
Nice and easy. Someone might be back on Saturday. I presume you'll be back with Gareth on Monday.
Yes, I'll be watching the match this weekend. So, yeah.
And I probably won't be back next week because I'm away, so someone else will probably have to do this.
If you
That's
could
it.
update the group chat and let people
Well, they'll have to listen to this, so, like, you know, unfortunately, they'll have to find out at the end of this podcast. But now that's all from us. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope it's been quite, is the word cathartic? Is that right? You know,
Yeah.
nice rant. If you go into Hull, enjoy it in 4 weeks' time. Thanks for listening.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.